Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Platzer coming at you live from my house, and it's the last day of July, July 31 of the year 2024. Welcome aboard. Introduction to Talmud 101. Through Goffman Synagogue and our School of Jewish Studies and SheerEnjoyment.com. Well, welcome. Let's get right to it. We're doing Tainus Ta'anit. Gemara Tainus, we're on 2A. Last time we met, we opened up the Masechta. We saw the introduction and the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was telling us all about the necessity to mention Givuros Geshamim, this idea, this phrase, which means the powers of rain. So I'm going to read to you in English a little summary of the first Mishnah, and then we're going to go into the Talmud. When do we begin to mention Givuros Geshamim, the powers of rain? And what exactly is that? Well, if you remember, that's the prayer, that's the phrase, Mashivorach Mor Degeshet, that Hashem makes the wind blow and he brings the rain down. So Rabbi Elazar says, you want to know when we start saying this phrase, Marshiv Aruach? We say it on the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, we don't. We say it on the last day of Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeres. And of course, if you remember, Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, we all know that rain on Sukkot is not a good sign. It's nothing but a simon klala, a sign of a curse, that Hashem is not happy with our service, doesn't even want us to sit in the sukkah, so he rains us out. So if rain on sukkahs is nothing less than a sign of a curse, then why would you ever want to pray for it on day one of the holiday? Day one of the holiday going forward, you got to sit in the sukkah. What are you doing asking for rain? You're going to be rained out. If you get rained out, you can't sit in the sukkah. That's a sign that Hashem's unhappy. So why would you pray for that? So Rabbi Elazar says, I'm not actually praying for that. All I'm doing is I'm mentioning, it's a statement of fact, that the Almighty, you know, makes the wind blow and he makes the rain fall. I'm not asking for a request for it. I'm simply mentioning the divine power that God has, that he makes the rain fall. That's all I'm doing. He says, I'm not asking for rain to come down on day one. Why would I do that? Instead, I'm simply mentioning that the Almighty has that power. So Rabbi Yeshua says to him, oh, I get it. You're not asking for rain to fall. You're simply making a declaration of fact that Hashem has great power. If that's true, then mention that all year round, because why reserve it only for, you know, the first day of Sukkot? You should be saying it in June. Just say it in April. Say it every minute of the whole year. If you're not asking for rain, then do it like that and say it all year long. Meanwhile, we don't say it all year long. We're going to find out what the response of Rabbi Yeshua will be to that very good, insightful question. Now, the Mishnah continues, Ein sholin es hagishamim, ela samach lagishamim. We do not request rain except close to the rainy season, meaning we don't begin to mention, we don't say Mashiv HaRuach until the last day of the festival, which immediately precedes the rainy season. Because he may have a point that, you know, it's a statement of fact that we're declaring that Hashem makes the wind blow and the rain fall. But let's face facts. In the opinion of the Mishnah, we are actually shoel. We are actually asking for rain with that phraseology. It may not be phrased. It's not really, phrased as a request. It does sound like a statement of fact. God makes the wind blow. God makes the rain fall. But the Mishnah understands it to be that we're asking for rain. And we do not do that except when we're close to the rainy season. Because, let's face it, it is really a prayer in a way. It's a request. It's an acknowledgement that God makes the wind blow and the rain fall. And we're hoping that it'll do that in the upcoming rainy season. Let's get into the Talmud right now, without further ado, on page 2A, start of the Gemara. Talmud says as follows, Tana hechukoi, dikotani me'emasai. What's the Tana of our Mishnah referring to? Tana, again, our Tana, the rabbi who's teaching our Mishnah, hechukoi, to what is he establishing, is he referring to Katane Me'emasai, that he's teaching the question, Me'emasai from when? when do we begin to mention this prayer of Mashivurach, the prayer known as the Divurach Geshamim, the powers of rain? He's assuming that we have to say it. The question is, where is this obligation even taught? How do we know we've got to say that? Then you can first begin to ask, when do we say it? But can you please explain to us where you get this obligation coming from? What's the source of it? So that is an informational question. Thank you. As far as I'm concerned, I would call that an informational question. Where is the source of this prayer? Where is this obligation taught? We're looking for a biblical source. So I don't see anybody under attack per se. It's just simply asking the Tana, where is the underlying source for the minhag, the mitzvah of saying Mashivrach Moed Geshem? It's a fair question. And now here's the answer to that informational question. Tana Hasam Kari. The Tana is referring to that. What's that? That meaning the Mishnah. And where is that Mishnah? That Mishnah is going to be found in Masechta Brachos. We'll find it in the Talmud on page 33a in Brachos. Seems to be a Mishnah over there in Brachos. The Tana is referring to that Mishnah, to Katani, and it teaches, the Mishnah over there teaches, Maskirin Givuros Geshamim Betrias Hamesim. We mention this phrase of Givuros Geshamim, of the powers of rain, the fact that the Almighty has the divine power to grant rain. The Mishnah in Brachos says, Maskirin Givuros Geshamim Betrias Hamesim. We mention the powers of rain in the blessing of Tchias HaMesim, which is the resurrection of the dead. That's where we put it, okay? You'll recall, those of you who say, and I'm hoping that everybody who is attending this class is a regular davener, a regular one who prays, and the footnote says that the blessing of Tchias HaMesim, of the resurrection of the dead, is the second blessing of Shemoneh Esrei. The gift of rain and the resurrection of the dead are equivalent in as much as they both bring life to the world. And that's the Yerushalmi. See the Yerushalmi, Brachos, chapter 5, Halacha 2. Very good. We continue. The Sho'olin Bevirchas Hashanim. Now remember, this is the Mishnah continuing in Brachos. We mention, or go back, we mention the powers of rain. Mashivurach, we mentioned that in the blessing of the resurrection of the dead, says the Mishnah in Brachos. Sho'olin Bevirchas Hashanah. And we request rain in the blessing of the years. So you make a declaration of fact that how powerful God is, and you join it up in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim, that the Almighty also has the power to resurrect the dead. But as far as making the request goes, that we hold off on, and we wait to get into the guts of Shemoneh Esrei, into the bracha of Borech Aleinu Hashana Hazos, right? That bracha of blessing this year with all prosperity, that's where we put the request for rain. The Sho'olin Bevirchas Hashana. And we request rain in the blessing of the years. And that's the ninth blessing of Shemoneh Esrei, Birkas Hashana. The blessing of the years, because in that bracha, we ask Hashem to bless the year with prosperity, says the footnote. Consequently, that's the appropriate place. That's the appropriate bracha in which to insert the request for rain, where we say the same tal umatar lebracha, and give matar, rain, and tal and matar. Tal is dew, matar is rain. Levracha, for a blessing. Please send us the dew in the morning and then proper rain. Good rain. You know, it's got to be, you know, ample rain, and it can't be damaging rain. It's got to be the kind of rain that'll be beneficial for crops, and let it be for a blessing. And so the Mishnah tells us that at the very beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we make this declaration of fact that the Almighty has divine powers. He resurrects the dead, and he it sends the rain, and they both give a blessing to the world. But as far as actually making the request, that's in the ninth blessing, where we say the same Talmud Levracha. Please send and give, you know, dew and rain as a blessing. But the mission is not done. V'havdala b'chonin hadas. And we recite Havdalah in the blessing of Chonin Hadas, where we acknowledge that Hashem is the one who gives intelligence, and he gives smarts, frankly, brain power to the world, to people. And there we say Havdalah. Excuse me. Atachonin ladam das, menam edlenosh bina. Okay? And we ask Hashem to give us intelligence and wisdom. Now, here's the, when we are going to say the Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, where do you put that little paragraph in? You put it into that particular bracha of Atachone, that you grant wisdom and intelligence to people. That's where you put the paragraph about Havdalah. See the footnote. The Havdalah prayer is inserted in the Shemoneh Esrei of Maariv, which follows the conclusion of Shabbos, to signify the differentiation between Shabbos and the other days of the week. It is appropriately inserted in the blessing of Atachonim, the blessing of wisdom. Hashem grants wisdom in accordance with the dictum, the saying of our sages, our Chazal, Im Ein Dea, Havdalah Minayin. If there is no wisdom, how can there be differentiation? So in the minds of the rabbis, there is a correlation and a connection between wisdom and Havdalah, differentiation. Because if you don't know, if you have no intelligence, how can you determine, how can you appreciate the difference between Shabbos and the rest of the week? How can you appreciate the difference between Klal Yisrael and the world? I know I do. I was down the courts yesterday getting ready for a trial, and I parked at the casino here in Cincinnati. And let me tell you, I also could use more exercise. But, yeah, you got to see the sad specimens of humanity. And they're just sitting there losing their money, so happy, losing their money, giving their money to the house. Very few are actually hitting. But there's always hope. And they do these machines, and they're playing dice. They're throwing dice and they're playing cards. And all I can say is, you know, thank you, Hashem, that you made me a Jew. You gave me a Torah, which allows me to live a godly life, a contemplative life, a thoughtful life, a moral life, a life that doesn't waste my time. So I don't go up to heaven and God's going to say, what'd you do down there for 95 years, 120 years? Yeah, I did a lot of casino work. I was working the casinos, throwing the dice around. That's not a life. That's a waste of time. You could have been doing so much good. Okay. So now we're getting, hopefully, to a source where we're learning about power, the powers of rain, the Masha Baruch prayer. It says explicitly here in the Brachas that we mention powers of rain in the Bracha of Tiyas HaMesim. And it continues over there, but at least we're getting somewhere, right? The Katani, and the Talmud continues, and in reference to that Mishnah, in Masechet Brachos, our Tana teaches over there in Brachos, Me'em Asayim Askir and Givurus Kishamim. When do we begin the powers of our teacher? Over here, in reference to that Mishnah, in Brachos, that's why our Tana here in our Mishnah of Tainus teaches Me'emasai Maskirin Givuros Geshamim. When do we begin to mention Givuros Geshamim, the powers of rain? Okay? So we're working off of that Mishnah in Brachos, which explicitly said, we mentioned Givuros Geshamim in the blessing of Pius HaMason, the second blessing. So that, as a result of that mitzvah brachos, that's why our Tana teaches new. So when do we begin to say Mashiva Ruach? That is how our mitzvah opens. So that's an answer to the informational question of where are we getting this from. But the Talmud, being the Talmud, is not going to be so happy with that answer. Now we're going to ask an attack question on it. V'lisne hasam. Wait a second. You're mentioning that there's a Mishnah in Brachos. In Brachos, you're discussing this notion of Givuros Geshamim, the powers of rain that the Almighty has. So then teach it over there. As long as you're mentioning Mashiv Ruach, Umorid Geshem, this declaration of fact that Hashem has the powers of the rain, so then don't stop there. Then over there immediately you should say, and from when do we begin saying this beautiful thought, this fact that Hashem has divine power? Teach you right over there in Brachos. Meanwhile, you don't see that in Brachos. You don't see this anywhere in Brachos. It's over here in Tainus. But he should have taught it in Brachos, where it's mentioned explicitly. If that's your source, teach it over there. Not a bad question. Listening to them. At the time to teach it over there in the order of Zeruiah. Thank you. Zeruiah, thank you very much. Brachos starts off the Seder of Zeruiah. Maishna deshavke ad hacha. Why did the Tana leave it until over here? We're now in Moed. If you haven't noticed, here in Introduction to Talmud 101, we've had the pleasure of learning two Masechtas. We finished two, and they're both in the order of Moed. Moed, of course, meaning festival. Chagiga. We did Chagiga. We finished it off a couple years ago, and then we began Moed Katan, and we finished that last Shabbos. So we've done two Masechtas in Moed. So ask the Talmud. It's very nice that in the Masechta of Brachos, which kicks off all of Mishnah, of course, and certainly kicks off the Seder of Zeruiah, there are six orders of Mishnah. And the first one is Zeruiah, seeds. You know, it's agricultural oriented, planting, various laws regarding planting. It's very involved. And things get kicked off with the Masechta of Brachos. So they begin to declare that the Almighty has the divine power to resurrect the dead. And most specifically, what we're concerned about, that Hashem has the power to send rain. So then it's not enough to simply make a declaration over there in Brachos. Let him teach it over there. It's in the order of Zeruiah. Let him teach it in the order of Zeruiah. Let him put it somewhere in that Seder, in that order of things. But no, he waited until Masechta Tainus in Moed, in this other order, to teach the notion of the divine power of rain. He should have taught it over there in Brachos. That's where it belongs. Somewhere in Zeruiah is where it belongs, in that general order of Mishnah. But no, he waited until the order of Moed. We don't know why. Why did he do that? Says the footnote, the Mishnah consists of six orders, six siddurim. The basic obligation to mention the powers of rain is taught in tractate Brachos, which belongs to the first order, Zeruiah. Tainus is in the second order, Moed. Teach you where it belongs. Why do you wait until now? That's the attack question. Not a bad attack question, as attack questions go. It is fair. Let him teach it, as long as you're mentioning stuff. So then go all the way. Now that you've made a declaration that we do say it, so then follow up and explain when we say it. But no, the Tana did not do that. He waited until over here in Tainus, in Moed, to teach it. Ask the Talmud, why did he wait? Why did he put it over here? And according to Art Scroll, that's an acceptable attack question, and it does such a great job that we're going to now have to come up with a second answer. Because answer number one has just gotten obliterated. So now we've got to come up with answer number two. So here's answer number two. Elatana me Rosh Hashanah Salik. Rather, the point of departure is not Brachos, not the Mishnah in Brachos, but rather the Mishnah in Tractate Rosh Hashanah. The Tana's point of departure, where is he jumping off from? It's not, even though Brachos look good, the question is, he should have taught it in Moed, in the order of Moed, where all the festivals lie. Says the Talmud, you know, you're right. That's true. And indeed, the Tana did look into Moed, into the order of Moed, and he found in the tractate of Rosh Hashanah, which is in the order of Moed, he found over there an entree, a place, a jumping off point for our Mishnah over here. So there's a foundation over there in Rosh Hashanah that we're going to now give you. And it's in the order of Moed, and that should make you very happy. The truth is that the Tana taught it, jumped off from Tractate Rosh Hashanah, which is in Moed, thank God. It's non, because we learned over there in Rosh Hashanah, which is in Moed, which is where Tinus is also. So this is really good. It's not, we learned in the Mishnah. And where is that? Rosh Hashanah, you'll find it in the Talmud on page 16a in Rosh Hashanah. What does it say there? We learned in the Mishnah, Uvachag Nidonin Alamayim. And on the festival, whenever you see the term Chag in the Talmud, which of course means the word festival, but it means the festival. We've done this before. It's the festival par excellence of Simcha, of joy. Not that there's no joy in Pesach. There's enormous joy in Pesach. And this joy in Shavuos. Pesach, we got our freedom. We got our freedom so we can get the Torah in Shavuos. So it's all good. Obviously, we're joyous in those two holidays. But Sukkot is called Chag by the rabbis, which means festival. As we said on Monday, people were bringing in their agricultural bounty, and there was wonderful party or simcha, the ritual of the water. And so there was enormous amounts of joy and sitting in the sukkah, shaking lulav and esrog. So you have that that idea of enormous happiness in the festival of Sukkot, and that's the reason why it's called Chag. So the Mishnah says, Uvachag, and on the festival, what do? Nidon and Alamayim. The people are judged in regard to water, water that will fall in the coming year. Is there enough sugar in here, hon? Hold this, honey. Great idea. It's very good. Thank you so much. Okay. So in Rosh Hashanah, in the tractate of Rosh Hashanah, we learn that on the festival of Sukkot / Shemini Atzeres, the people are judged in regard to water that will fall in the coming year. The Aide de Tana of the Chag Nidon Alamayim. Now, since it was taught, the word Aide, you see that a lot in the Talmud. Since, because. Now, since the Tana, it was taught in the Mishnah, that on the festival of Sukkot / Shemini Atzeres, the people are judged in regard to water. So then it's evidence, says the art scroll, that we have to make mention of God's rain-giving powers in order to win over the Almighty, to propitiate God, to pray to him with earnestness for a favorable judgment, because we're getting judged. God's going to decide during the holiday of Sukkot / Shemini Atzeres as to how much rain we're going to get that coming year in the rainy season in Israel. And we're hoping and praying it's going to be a good judgment, because if it's a bad judgment, people are going to suffer badly. There won't be enough food. There'll be a famine, God forbid. So obviously people are going out of there, and they're just pulling like crazy. And farmers especially, everybody realizes that their lives are dependent upon the Almighty giving proper rain in Israel. And so, since the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah explicitly tells us that we are judged in regard to water on the festival, meaning Sukkot / Shemini Atzeres, so therefore, Tana, therefore, that's the reason why our town over here in Tinus is teaching, when do we begin to say this prayer? Should we say it at the beginning of the holiday of Sukkot? Should we say it at the end on Shemini Atzeres? should we take one rabbi's opinion and say it all year long? When should we begin to say this all-important prayer? And therefore, the Tana launching off from the Mishnah there in Rosh Hashanah, which is in the Seder of Moed, of holidays. It's in that one of the six orders of the Mishnah. But it's the correct order, if you will. It's the right one, because Rosh Hashanah is in it. Rosh Hashanah is in Moed, and so is Tainus. So it's perfectly okay for our Tana to begin teaching about when we say it here in Tainus, because Tainus is a part of Moed. Rosh Hashanah is a part of Moed. It's perfect. It's fine. See the footnote? It's more appropriate to teach the dates for the mention of rain in reference to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which discusses rain in the context of a particular time frame. And Rosh Hashanah spells it out. You couldn't ask for more. Rosh Hashanah explicitly says, people are judged in regard to water on the festival. So you see right there that the Tana in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is already giving us a time frame. So now it's perfectly okay, once you've said, oh, that it's on the holiday that we get judged. So then the next question for the rabbis is, wait a second. So when will we really start saying this? Should we say it immediately on day one of Sukkot? Or should we say it on day eight, which is Shmini Atzeres? But we have to know when. It's not enough just to tell us that on the festival we are judged. We need more information than that. Got to be guided. When do we begin to do it? And that's perfectly appropriate. And we're working off of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which is in Moed, which is in the order of festivals. So everything's working fine right now. Now we should be all, we're all cooking with gas over here. We found an excellent source in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, which is part of the general order of Moed, of festivals. And Tainus is in the same order, Moed, festivals. And now we're going to ask the all-important question, when do we begin to say it? It's nice that in Rosh Hashanah it tells us that we're judged on that holiday. But when now? When do we start saying it? First day of the holiday or the last day of the holiday? Okay. The fact is, it's much more appropriate that we're working off of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah than the Mishnah in Brachos, which does not discuss the issue of time at all. Okay. All it said over there in Brachos was, we mentioned the powers of rain in a bracha in Shemoneh Esrei. It's very nice that you tell us where we say it in the liturgy, in the prayers. It's nice to know where we put it. But the question is, when do we begin to say it? That's only understandable in the context of working off of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, which tells us that on the festival we mention the prayers. Now the question is, what day in the festival? Day one or day eight? Okay, so that's good. That's a good answer. Answer number two, hopefully will stick. But there is an attack. Velisne, and whenever you see the word velisne, that is the Aramaic form for bilamed, let it teach, velishna, let it teach, let there be a Mishnah like this. Let it be taught in the following way. It's like a Joseph voice. Oh, may it happen. It's an aspiration. It's a hope. Velisne, but let the Mishnah teach it as follows. Memasa maskirin al hagishamim. When do we begin to mention rain? What we're saying over here is the phraseology in our own Mishnah is kind of strange. Or in the words of the Democrats right now, weird, which they want to put on J.D. Vance. I've never seen a bigger bunch of gaslighters and liars and extraordinary liars. I mean, that's really what the Democratic Party has become. They'll never tell you anything truthful to your face. You know the truth because you figured it out, but don't expect them to acknowledge it. Why did Joe Biden leave? Oh, he had to pass the torch on to the new generation. Yeah, after you forced them out. That's the answer that he's giving. Never, I mean, don't get me started. This is a party of non-truth tellers. So over here, the attack question is, that the Mishnah is worded strangely. What is this phrase, Givuros Geshamim, anyway? Powers of rain. Who talks like that? The Givuros Geshamim. When do we begin saying Givuros Geshamim? When do we begin saying powers of rain? What do you mean powers of rain? Let the Mishnah teach it straight up, simple. Me'emasai maskirin al hageshamim. From when do we begin mentioning rain? Let it say that. Let it say that. What is this phraseology, Givuros Geshamim? It's just strange. My Givuros Geshamim. What is meant by that phrase, Givuros Geshamim, anyway? Asks the Talmud. That is an attack question. Because we're attacking the phrase that the Tana pieced together. He put together, he came up with this phrase, Givuros Geshamim. The question is why? Where to get it from? That's not an informational question, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I'm concerned, that's an attack question. We're attacking his phraseology. It's not a who, when, where, what, you know, how much, how deep. It's what are you doing? Why'd you phrase it like that? So that's a good attack question. Why, indeed, did the Tana phrase it in such a way? Here's an answer to that question. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'pnei sheyordin b'gvura. We utilize the term Givuros Geshamim, the powers of rain, mipnei sheyordin b'gvura, because rain descends with Givura, with strength, with power, with the power of God. How do you know that? Well, it's going to have to be a phrase. It's going to have to be rather a pasuk. And I'm going to look up that pasuk right now. We have two pasukim coming out of Job. Let me get Job. Hold on. Let's get the book of Job. So we'll know what we're talking about over here. Where's Job? Hey. Okay. Let's take a look and see what we can learn from the book of Job. Job chapter 5, verse 9. Take a look and see what that looks like. Job chapter 5, verse 9. And here's the verse in Job. Ose gedolos ve'ein cheker, who does things great. Previous pasuk. You know what? I'll just give you the context. Give you the context. I'll read in English in the beginning of the chapter. Now call. Will anyone answer you? To which of the holy ones will you turn? For anger will kill a fool, and wrath will kill a naive person. I have seen a fool taking root, and suddenly I cursed his dwelling. May his sons distance themselves from salvation, and may they be crushed in the gate without a rescuer. Wow. Obviously, we have to see what's going on over here, but I'm just reading for general context. Chapter 5, verse 5, the hungry shall eat his harvest, and he will take it for the one saved from his weapons, and one of the thirsty shall swallow their riches. 6, for not from the dust does ruin emerge, and not from the soil does trouble spring. 7, because man is born for trouble, ki adam la'amal yulad, because man is born for trouble, uvenei reshef yakbiu uf, but flying creatures fly upward. Wow. See, incredible. Man is born for trouble. I would have thought that the word amal, by the way, means like, you know, hard work. Man is born for hard work. But Rashi says, it's impossible that a person should not sin and receive trouble as punishment for sin. Imagine, you're sent into the world. God gives everybody a Yetzirah and a Yetzer Tov. For some people, the Yetzirah is, the evil inclination is super strong. And it overwhelms and overpowers them on a daily basis. They make terrible decisions every single day. They use drugs and alcohol. They act promiscuously. They steal. They rob. They kill. And this is what they do. Now, don't you think you're going to get punished for that? And the answer is, of course a person's going to get punished for that. It's impossible. But even for those of us who don't do some of these cardinal sins, we do plenty of other crazy stuff. Lashon Hara, maybe micro acts of theft. Did you get everything halacha down in Shabbos and Yontif? It's impossible that a person should not sin. And once in a while you eat treif, and who knows what's going on? I mean, people can, you know, on a dime, they do crazy stuff. So, of course, a person's going to sin along the way. He's going to receive trouble as punishment. He's not like the flying creatures. Who are they? Birds? No, angels. Malachim, angels. They're the flying creatures who fly upward. And they're not of the earthly creatures. Over on the adversary and temptation adversary and temptation, they rule over us, but not over the angels. Oh, boy. Continuing. But I would seek of God, and to God I would commit my cause. Ulam ani edrosh el kel, but I would seek of the Almighty, ve'el elokim asim divrasi, and to God I would commit my cause. Ose gedolos ve'ein cheker, who does great things, and there is no searching. God is unsearchable. You can't second guess him. He knows more than you do. He's in charge and you're not. You can't say, oh, I got to put God on trial. I got to find out why he's doing this. No, that's not our place at all. As created beings, it's not our place to put God on trial. Although there's a lot of drama in that. And after the Holocaust, I think some people were trying to put God on trial. And I think stuff may have been written like that. But in the real world, Job rules. God does great things, and he is unsearchable. Continuing, Niflaot, he does wonders, ad ein mispar, without number. So that's our verse over here, who does things great and unsearchable. Ose gedolos ve'ein cheker. Now, does that sound familiar? And I think it should. Let's see, there's a footnote over here. But first, let's read the Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mipnei Shiyordan Begvur, the reason why we say this phraseology, Givuros Geshamim, that God has the powers of rain, is because rain descends with the power of God, because it comes down from heaven, Begvura, in power, in strength. Shinema, like it says, Ose Gedolos Ve'en Cheker. That's how the verse reads. Niflos Adin Mispar. Right? It's wonders without number. Now, see the footnote over here. The Maharsha and the Bach amend the text, meaning the Talmudical text. They're amending the Talmudical text to read Ve'ein, to conform with Job chapter 5, verse 9, because that's how it appears in Job. Ose gedolos ve'ein cheker. Now, why is it that in our Talmud over here, it's written Ad Ein Cheker? Ad Ein Cheker. Why is it written like that? Indeed, why is it written like that? But you're right. I mean, in the Talmudical text, Ose gedolos ad ein cheker. Why do we read it like that if chapter 5, verse 9, says Ose gedolos ve'ein cheker? And so the answer for that is you got to go over to another verse in Job. How about that? Got to go see Job chapter 9, verse 10. Let's go there. Let's go see Job chapter 9, verse 10, and see how it's phrased over there. Because I think that we all know the phraseology as Ose gedolos ad ein cheker. So why do we say it like that? If Job chapter 5 is Ose gedolos ve'ein cheker, why do we say anything beside that, outside of that? It's because of Job in chapter 9, verse 10. I'll read this to you. The previous one is, verse 6, he who causes the earth to quake from its place and its pillars shudder, he who spoke to the sun and it didn't shine and he sealed up the stars, he who alone stretched out the heavens and treads on the high places of the sea, he who made the bear, the Orion, Ose Osh Kisil V'chima V'chadre Teman, he who made the bear, the Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, talking about the star constellations. And now finally, verse 10. Ose gedolos ad ein cheker. He who performs great deeds without limit. Vinifla'os ad ein mispar. And wonders until they have no number. So, you know what? It looks like the prayers that we say, Ose gedolos ad ein cheker, vinifla'os ad ein mispar, we're quoting Job chapter 9, verse 10. In our prayers, we're explicitly and directly quoting Job chapter 9. But for whatever reason, the Maharsha and the Bach, they want to amend the text that we have in the Talmud right now to read it and make it conform to Job chapter 5, where the phrase is not Ad Ein Cheker, but rather Ve'ein Cheker. Is there a big difference in translation? Not really. How about it as it continues? Abinifloth ad ein mispar in Job chapter 9. What about back in Job chapter 5? Over there it says, Abinifloth ve'ein mispar. Is there a big difference between the two? Not really. However, we try our best to be textually, you know, faithful. We want to be consistent and want to be faithful to the biblical text. The problem is we've got two verses in the same biblical book, the book of Job. They are 97% identical to each other, except that one has the word odd and the other one does not. And it's got odd coming up twice in Job chapter 9. And you don't see the word odd, which means, of course, until. You don't see the word odd in Job chapter 5. So the question is, which verse are we dealing with in the text of the Talmud? Is the Talmud quoting Job 5 or Job 9? That really kind of becomes the question. Let's see the footnote again. The Maharsha and the Bach amend our text here in the Talmud to read the Ein to conform with Job chapter 5. The version cited in our editions of the Gemara corresponds to Job chapter 9. However, it doesn't seem that the Gemara refers to Job chapter 9, for that verse is not connected with any mention of rain in chapter 9. He who performs great deeds without limit and wonders until they have no number. That's Job chapter 9, verse 10. The argument over here is that that verse I just read in Job 9 is not connected with any mention of rain. Whereas Job 5, which is immediately followed by a verse which discusses rain. Ah, so you got to go back now to Job chapter 5 and see the context. Let's see the next verse in Job chapter 5. It's going to be Job chapter 5, verse 10. Hanosein matar al panei aretz, who gives rain upon the face of the land, v'sholeach mayim al panei chutzot, and he sends water upon the face of outside places. So that's the reason why the Maharsha and the Bach are amending our Talmudical text over here in Tainus, because we're convinced that really the Talmudical text here in Tainus is referencing Job chapter 5. And it's referencing Job chapter 5, not because so much of chapter 5, verse 9, which says, who does things great and unsearchable, wonders without number, but because it's followed by the very next verse, which talks about rain, who gives rain upon the face of the land. And the rabbis are going to link up in their inimitable style. They're going to link up verses 9 and 10. And since verse 9 says that Hashem does things great, Oseg Gedolos, Vein Cheker, and God is unsearchable, so then you ask yourself, what is that? What is God doing that's so great? And the next pasuk reveals it. Hanosein matar al panei aretz. He gives rain upon the face of the land. So we're going to see, we're going to knit together these two psukim in Job chapter 5. And if we're going to be really therefore talking about Job chapter 5, then we have to make the Talmudical text conform to Job chapter 5. And that's where the Maharsha and the Bach are amending our Talmudical text to make it read exactly as the words appear in Job chapter 5. Because the next verse talks about rain. Okay? So you have over there in verse 9, he who performs great deeds beyond comprehension and wonders beyond number, uchsiv, and the following verse, it's written, who gives rain upon the face of the land and sends water upon the face of the outskirts. And therefore, since these two psukim are in such close quarters to each other, they're literally one upon the other. So then for the rabbis, that's your best indication that we should be looking to Job chapter 5, not Job chapter 9, for a biblical source. And if we're talking going to be citing Job chapter 5, then we should cite it appropriately and accurately. And that's the reason why the Maharsha and the Bach amend our Talmudical our Talmudical text. Rabbis are very, very loath to amend the text unless they really truly have to. They'll often leave in the original words that they came across, which were written 1,500 years ago, let's say, and then the margin they'll write, maybe it should look like this, the vein or ain or whatever. They'll write it the way it should look, but they won't amend the actual text per se. Every once in a while, though, you come across in the actual text, you'll come across some brackets and some parentheses and so on. But over here, in the actual text, you don't find it. It's being brought down in this footnote. And if you see the Marsha and the Bach, then you'll see over there in their explanations, you'll see that they're making it conform to Job chapter 5. Because only in Job chapter 5 do you have the two verses, one upon the heels of the other, talking about how great God is, how strong he is, and that he sends rain. And that's an indication of God's strength. So you couldn't ask for more, really. You've got two psukim, and they are talking about God's strength in the context of sending rain. So that's hopefully an answer. The question is, why do we begin to mention rain? Why do we say Gerus Geshamim? And the answer is because God does gedolos, great things. Hanosein Matar, he gives rain. So that's a great thing. That's a gadol thing. Big, great, wonderful, strong thing. So this is hopefully an answer to the question of this phrase, this unusual phrase, Gerus Geshamim, where do you get it from? It's because in Job it says, in Job, remember Job chapter 5, not Job chapter 9, but Job chapter 5, Hashem is Oseh Gedolos, he does great things, Hanosein Matar, he gives rain. No, that's a good answer, isn't it? I think so, but maybe not the Talmud. Do we have another attack question? We do. My Mashmer, so how is it implied by those psukim that rain is associated with power? My Mashmer, where do you get it from? Where is the implication? I'm making the argument. I'm trying my best. Oh, Segedolos, Hashem does great things. I know Saint Matar, he gives rain. But the Talmud wants to inquire a little bit further, a little bit deeper. So do we have an answer for that? Amaraba Barshila. How about this? How about this for an answer? Amaraba Barshila. Asya Cheke Cheke Mibriyaso Shel Olam. There's going to be like a Gezer Shava, if you will. We're going to see the word cheker here and the word cheker there. Cheker, of course, meaning like, to search. Lachakor means to search out, to dive deep, to be chokel, to study deeply, intensively, thoughtfully, and uncover things. And we even have a magazine that I owed some money to called Chakira. When we talk in the yeshivas, they talk about, they did a chakira, which means they did a search. They did a search. They did a study. They did a deep dive. And so Chakira magazine has wonderful articles on Torah topics, deep dives into various inyanim in Jewish thought and law. That's a Chakira. So we're going to see the word Cheker here and Cheker there. And so let's see how Rabba Bar Shila fleshes it all out. We see the word Cheker in Job chapter 5, and we also see Cheker coming up in Job chapter 9. So let's see what he does with this. Asya Cheker, Cheker, Mibriyasa Shel Olam. There is a juxtaposition, there's an analogy, there is a direct kinship between the word Cheker that appears in one place regarding the creation of the world, and a second place where the word Cheker comes up, regarding the creation of the world. Now, let me read just this footnote. It emerged, we're going to give you an answer that rain is associated with power because the word cheker appears here and cheker appears there, and they're associated with creation of the world, which, of course, only God can do. Now, if that's not an act of greatness and strength, creating galaxies where God speaks and galaxies come into existence. Are you kidding me? Could there be anything stronger than that? Where the Almighty thinks of something and then speaks it out and says, let there be light, let there be an earth, let there be water, let there be land. And it is. And so, let there be animals, and there are. Let there be insects and plants and trees and whales and fish, and there are. Now, if that's not strength. I don't know what is, because the creation of the galaxies is the ultimate statement of strength of God. Let's see what he says over here. The word cheker, comprehension, to comprehend, lachankor, is written, there's an analogy written in the first verse cited above in reference to rain, and the same word cheker is found in connection with the creation of the world. We see cheker over here in Job, and we're going to see the word cheker in regards to creation. Now, there's a very deep dive footnote over here that I want to share with you. Usually the basis for this form of derivation, known as the Gezeirah Shavah, is that it's one of the 13 divinely ordained methods of hermeneutical exposition. That's very nice talk for God gave us 13 ways to interpret the Torah. And one of them is Gezeirah Shavah. We have a word over there in, let's say, you know, in Genesis, and the same word pops up in Leviticus. And so we learn out, oh, okay, so the word over here means that, so it could shed light on the same word over there. Footnote continues. The use of the same word or same phrase in two otherwise unrelated verses conveys an analogy between the topics of each verse. However, there is a rule that a Gezeirah Shavah cannot be drawn between a word in the Pentateuch and a word in the prophets. The Gemara Bava Kamma says that on page 2b. 2b, wow. It opens up very quickly and gives us that rule. If you have a word coming up in the five books of Moses and the same word coming up in the prophets, you will not be able to do a Gezeirah Shavah. It's only within the order of the five books of Moses. The same is probably true, it says over here, of a Gezeirah Shavah between the prophets, between the Nevi'im, and the writings, the Ksuvim, such as discussed here in the Gemara. So over here you've got Job. Job is one of the Ksuvim, one of the holy writings, and it makes its way into the Torah. It's canonical literature, no doubt, but it's not in the five books of Moses. Not Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that it's not. So can you, you know, utilize a word that comes up in Job and have it reflect on something that comes up in the regarding creation? Can you do it like that? Not so fast. Moreover, the entire matter of the Mishnah's terminology is essentially a rabbinic one. Right. The idea of Gevuras Geshamim. You're not going to see that phrase in the Bible. It doesn't say it in the Bible anywhere. There's no phraseology, Gevuras Geshamim, in Genesis. It doesn't exist. It's a rabbinical invention. The rabbis created the term Gevuras Geshamim. Now, you could do that all day long, but don't go expecting to find that in the Bible. And if you're not going to see it in the Bible, where are you going to be able to create a Gezeirah Shavah? You're not going to be able to, because there's no biblical source for that phrase. Therefore, says Artscroll, we must conclude that this is not a Gezeirah Shavah in the regular sense of things, but merely a homiletic exposition that follows the format of a Gezeirah Shavah. It's not really technically a Gezeirah Shavah, because we're dealing with a pasuk in Job, which is nice, but it's not going to cut it. I need verses in the five books of Moses to do a real, genuine Gezeirah Shavah. This is going to be maybe some sort of, you know, like something to hang the hat on, something on which you can hang your hat. There's a phrase for that also in rabbinic thought. And so maybe like that, maybe it'll be along those lines. It won't be technically a Gezeirah Shavah. So here it is. Ksiv Hacha, in reference to rain, it's written over here, Oseh Gedolos Vein Cheker. He does great things and unsearchable. So you see the word Cheker coming up over there. Uksiv Hasam, and it's written over there in connection with creation of the world. What is it written? What does it say? And it's in Isaiah. So I've got a verse in the prophets, and I've got a verse in the writings. One is in the Nevi'im, one's in the Ksuvim. So in connection with creation, it's written, Halo yadata im lo shamata. This is like a Shweki song. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? Elokei olam Hashem, borei kitzos haaretz, the God of the world, Hashem, the creator of the ends of the earth, lo yaf v'lo yiga, does not become weary and does not become tired. In cheker lisvunasa, his wisdom is beyond comprehension. So you see that the word cheker is coming up, one in regards to giving rain, Job chapter 5. And one usage of the word cheker comes up in regards to Hashem's creation of the whole wide world. So these two psukim create a connection between rain and the creation of the world. So that's how you see that rain is associated with power. Because rain coming up in Job, and where the word cheker comes up, is also, the word cheker is going to also come up regarding the creation of the world. So you see that the creation of the world, which was done with so much chokmah and strength, well, then also rain is given to us with strength. And it's written that Hashem displayed power at creation, where it says, Mechin harim bekocho, nezar bigvura, he who sets mountains with his strength, who is girded with power. Okay, that's the pasuk in Tehillim, another one of the sacred writings. So therefore, accordingly, by virtue, says Artscroll, by virtue of the analogy between rain and creation, power is also associated with rain. Because you see, the power is certainly associated with creation. He who sets mountains with his strength, who is girded with power. Hashem made the mountains. He did it with power. He created the whole wide world. This v'nasa ein cheker ein cheker this v'nasa. There is no comprehension or knowledge or cheker to his knowledge. I mean, the Almighty is beyond comprehension. There's no way to comprehend him. So therefore, you can now indeed create an analogy between rain, where the word cheker comes up in Job chapter 5, discussing rain in the very next pasuk, and the fact that the word cheker comes up in regards to creation of the world and how strong the Almighty is for doing it. Therefore, power is also associated with rain, hence the term givuros gishamim. And that's why we're allowed to use this phraseology of the powers of rain, because it's already been established. Cheker, cheker. Cheker in Job, talking about rain. Cheker in Isaiah, talking about Psalms, talking about how strong God was during creation of the world. So that's an effort to establish for us the phraseology of Givuros Geshamim, the strength of rain, and that's why the rabbis feel comfortable utilizing it, because you see Givura in the creation of the world, and the word Cheker appears over there, and the word Cheker appears in Job, where Job talks about how God is the giver of the rain, and there's no Cheker. There's no way to understand God. Can't search him out. It's unsearchable. Cheker, Cheker. It is not exactly a Gezeirah Shavah, but it's in the same, obviously it's the same methodology of a Gezeirah Shavah. So I want to thank everybody for coming out. Went over a little bit. I'm very sorry about that. Wishing everybody a great day. Zeitz Gesund. Hopefully with God's help, we'll see you on Friday morning at 10:30. I'll try to rein myself in a little. It's going to be maybe truncated a bit because I've got a CLE class I've got to go to. It's going to be on mediation. And so I'm going to hopefully learn some stuff over there from my former boss, John Phillips. So we'll go from 10:30 to 11. And we'll still get some material done, hopefully. Wishing everybody a great day today. God willing, to see you Friday morning at 10:30 for more Intro to Talmud 101. Thank you so much, Jake and Mitch, for all you do. Zach Gazoon, everybody. See you in 2 days, God willing, Friday morning. All the best, Governor.